It is so good to be a Christian. It is so good to be a believer. It is so good to know that you and I are children of the Most High God. Amen?
Amen.
And that whatever we desire when we ask our Heavenly Father, He said He'd give it to us.
Amen.
And that every mountain that tries to block our way, we can speak to it and the mountain must move. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
It is so good that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God, which is really great because I hear the price of beef is going up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Not only does God love us, He wants to tell us the things He's going to do. He wants to tell us the things He's prepared for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." But it goes on to say, "But He reveals them to us by His Spirit." Goes on in verse 16 to say, "For you have the mind of Christ." 1 John 2:27 says, "The anointing dwells in you and teaches you all things." Hallelujah. Teaches us all things. In the book of Isaiah, God says, "The old things have passed away. The former things have passed away. I do a new thing. Before I do it, I will tell you." God wants us to know where He's going and why He's going there and where your path is as you fit into that path with Him. Isn't that awesome? You know, if we go to a restaurant and I buy you one of these huge things of soft drinks, you know, looks like a small bird bath. You know what I mean? I'm telling you here. If I buy one of those for you, and nowadays they say, you know, it's you just refill it, right? There's no limit to how much you can have. So you can take it and you can take a sip. You can take a slurp with a straw. You can put it up to your face and pour it on you. You can do anything you want with it. How much of that soft drink can you have? As much as you want. As much as you want, you can have it. You can drink as much as you want. The same thing is true of God. How much of God can you have? As much as you want. God lives in your spirit, all of God. And how much of God in your spirit do you want to allow to take control of your entire being, to saturate your very being, to flood you with life, that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and desires to flood you, flood your mortal flesh with life. Romans 8:11. Flood your mortal flesh with life. How much of that life do you want? How much of God do you want? You can have as much, but know that every time you take some of God into you, you lose some of yourself. You got to put something down. Because we are focused. When we first sinned, we entered into that sin of pride. And pride became a part of our being. And so we want to do things our way. And in came rebellion and a variety of sins, impatience and fear. And every time we let more of God into us, we have to give up some of these sins. And some of them are hard to give up. Because in giving up some of them, the devil says, "But you're changing your personality. That's not you." So do you want to be that personality, or do you want to be who God wants you to be? It's all your choice. And every day, certainly every week, but I want to say every day, I see people, I hear people, I know stories, people come to me for help. Where they're making the wrong choices. They're making the wrong choices because they're perishing, as Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, they're perishing for a lack of knowledge. God says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." They don't truly understand how awesome God is. They don't truly understand how much God loves them. They don't truly understand how much Jesus paid the price for them to walk in the fullness of what God has for them. They don't comprehend these things. What they comprehend is all the garbage that you and I were brought up with. All the things from the past, all the pains and the hurts and the baggage that we put along behind us, and all the sinful desires that we put along behind us. You know, I'm sure if you're like me, you've thought, Jesus, I thought you said your burden is light and your yoke is easy. And it truly is. What is hard, where the burden is, where destroying the yoke is getting rid of the garbage we collected all these years behind us. See, once we get rid of it, we move into an area where it's an Ephesians 3:20 life. It is more wonderful than you can imagine. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. God has a plan. We're going to talk about that plan Sunday. In 2 days, we're going to talk about God's plan. But understand that when God has a plan, so does the devil. The devil has a plan. So on Sunday, we're going to talk about the ark is the mark. But today, we want to talk about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. See? And where I want to start is to understand that people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't understand how wonderful it is to be in the secret place of the Most High God. Today, as we're winding down these ending days, it's becoming more and more obvious to believers, who have any amount of foresight, any amount of understanding, that the world is spiraling downwards. The evil is saturating the world more and more. They're calling good evil and calling evil good. They're doing all the things the Bible said would happen. And it's getting worse at a faster and faster pace. You can't help but notice it if you turn the television on. Almost every single day in the newspaper, you see bombs going off someplace and people getting blown up. Just the last time I glanced at it, there were 20 in one country and like 30 in another country killed, not to mention the ones who were wounded. And all these people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Because turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now all these people are getting blown up. People are getting killed in bus accidents by hurricanes, tornadoes, all the various things that kill people every single day. Why are they being destroyed? And the Bible says for a lack of knowledge. They don't know that nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt them. They probably don't even know they have an enemy. Most people seem to think that life is like a game of spinning a roulette, like a roulette wheel. You spin it and it comes up on, oh, win the lottery. Spin it again. Oh, give back the lottery money. Spin it again. Get married. Spin it again. Get divorced. Spin it again. Get sick. Spin it again. Oh, get better this time. But how about next time? They really think that. They think everything that happens by chance and by coincidence. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But they have no sense of self-responsibility. That's how somehow their actions and their behaviors are causing it. Matter of fact, the further we go away from having God in school is the more they want to blame somebody else. Oh, it's the teacher's fault. Oh, it's the parents' fault. Oh, it's the school system's fault. It's the government's fault. But it's never their fault. Am I telling you the truth? Okay? Because it's all a lack of knowledge. The words of Jesus says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. In John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Verse 32. 31 says, he was speaking to believers. So there are two kinds of believers. All believers go to heaven, but only the disciples get set free. If the believer continues in the word of God, then the believer will know the truth, and the truth will set the believer free. Why is that? Because the believer, like the unbeliever, is being destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge impacts all of us. But the more you seek God, the more knowledge you get, the more knowledge you get is the more grace comes to you. Grace comes through increasing in knowledge. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Okay? And then 3 talks about the promises. Okay? Grace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. Disaster is multiplied to you through not knowing God. So, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Here we have an example. We're still in Luke 10. Jesus says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. No, to whom he's speaking? Look at verse 17. The 70 returned again with joy. See, being in Christ is supposed to be joyful. This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, O Lord, I beseech you. God wants to save you from everything. I beseech you, send now prosperity. Prosperity in every area of your life. That's what God wants. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Even the devils are subject. So they went out, they saw miracles, signs, wonders, and even the devils were subject to them. And Jesus goes on in verse 19, and nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Why is this? Because they continued in the word that Jesus gave them. Starting back in verse 2, he says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. This is a prayer to get your loved ones saved, that God would send laborers to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So he sends them out here and he gives them specific instructions. Verse 3, go your ways. Verse 4, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Okay? Whatever house you enter, say peace be on this house. Verse 7, in the same house remain eating and drinking. He gives specific instructions. Now, we know they followed the instructions specifically. Why? Because they came back with joy, and they came back saying, even the devils are subject to us. If they had not been following the instructions, they would not have been continuing in the word, and they would not have come back with joy, and they would not have come back saying, even the devils are subject unto us. So it says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. That's wonderful. Now, we need that in at least 2 places. Right? In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let the truth be established. So let's turn to Psalm 91. And I think I gave everybody a copy of Psalm 91. Everybody should have a copy. So what we're saying here is, knowledge will set you free. Knowledge of God will bring more grace. Lack of knowledge puts you in harm's way. But we, knowing these ending days, we understand things are coming into being. And so we can look at them and see them coming into being. Let me give you some examples. Okay? These are all from the LA Times over the last month. Most recent, the last few days, but there's one that goes back about a month. This particular one. We had the Academy Awards recently. And so the people who run the Academy Awards, they decided they wanted to do something more traditional. Because I guess last year was kind of risky. I don't know. I don't watch it. So they want to go back to the tradition. They felt it wasn't as big a success as they wanted. So they say here that what America really wants is tradition. America wants tradition. Let me say it again in case you didn't hear it the first 2 times. They're saying America wants tradition. So to give them tradition, this year, the Oscar show will bring back as a host, MC, Ellen DeGeneres, who was the host in 2007. That's tradition. This is what the LA Times and the Academy of Motion Picture Art and Sciences believe. That tradition is to go back 7 years and bring back Ellen DeGeneres as the host. That's the country you're living in. That's the more around which is flooding around us. Okay. This is one from a couple of days ago, April 8th. There is a wedding photographer in New Mexico, Christian. And this wedding photographer was asked to take pictures for a wedding. But the wedding was for two gays. And she says, I can't do that. It's against my religious principles. So they sued her. And they went to court and she lost. They went to court and they lost. Lost right out of the state. So she appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And last week, their decision was not to hear the appeal. They bounced it back to lower court. Meaning this lady photographer has to take the pictures at this gay wedding. Friend of mine recently is an evangelist, national evangelist, tremendous man of faith. He listened to a series that I did starting on my birthday. It's called the 40 series for my 40th birthday. So he listened to the series on the birthday, and the next day, on Sunday, turned out to be part two, which I did not know. So he listened to both, and he came back and said, man, there's a lot of stuff in here I never heard and I never knew. He says, this is important stuff. When, he says, forgive me, I may be wrong, but it seems to me the window of free speech is closing rapidly. The window of free speech is rapidly closing. When are you going to get this stuff out? Because people around the world need to hear this stuff. Well, I agree the window of free speech is closing. We are getting it out. Stuff like we did in that Sunday morning and my birthday. A few years ago, that was only taught in graduate school, the equivalent of graduate school. Semesters 4, 5, and 6. Now we're teaching them on Friday. Of course, when you teach it on Fridays and Sundays, here's the risk you run. That people come once in a while, or come in late, and they get something slightly out of context, or they haven't got the foundation, and they get offended and leave. I wish I could tell you it wasn't different, but it's true. I mean, just had that kind of news just this week already. You know? We're trying to build level to level, concept and concept, precept and precept. And we're trying to go from almost nowhere to the millennium. That's what we're trying to do. And every single teaching is an important building block. And I don't want to offend anybody. Turns out that a lot of them have been offended over the years. Not my desire. One lady who came here, extremely wealthy lady, came here. And I was teaching about walking by faith. And I was saying, you know, that we are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is that which comes in through your five senses. Faith is making your decision based on the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you. That if you're not making your decision by the Word of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you, you're not walking by faith. Now, you may say, well, I'm going to live like a Christian, do what a Christian does. Yes, that's walking by faith. And overall, you're walking by faith. But specifically for that particular day, you may not have made one single decision that was based on the Word of God. So she got upset and she left. Never came back. Died about 3 years later. Very wealthy, but dead. Okay? So I'm not trying to offend anybody. But I'm trying to tell you facts. Okay? I'm not even trying to push you. I'm telling you what's available. You can drink as much of God as you want, but you got to give up something. And what you got to give up is sin. What I have to give up is sin. So, moving along here, there is a browser called Firefox. Very popular. Owned by a company called Mozilla. The CEO of Mozilla was just fired. His crime? He's a new CEO. They just found out that in 2008, he donated $1,000 to the Proposition 8 Fund. CEO of one of the big corporations, Mozilla, fired because he donated $1,000 to the Proposition 8 Fund. That's the world we live in. Okay? That was a few days ago. Okay? Remember back in the beginning of 2011 when God laid out the era of fear? 5 years of fear starting in 2011, ending in 2015. Well, shortly after that started, what they call the Arab Spring started. Remember all that? And I said, this may sound good initially, but this is going to be terrible for Christians. It's going to be bad for America and terrible for Christians. Now, Syria, part of the Arab Spring is, you know, they're trying to get rid of the Syrian president for a long time. Now, I'm not saying if that's good or that's bad. Here's what I'm saying. A lot of rebels are coming into Syria to help get rid of this president. And one of the latest batch coming in is Muslim rebels coming to help the rebels from Turkey. And so they came into this town called Kasab, which is an Armenian town. And you know the Armenians have been accusing the Turks of genocide for over 100 years. They came in, and the entire town fled. Okay? I don't know how many people, if anybody were killed, but the town fled. The entire town of Kasab took off and left the town. Many of you have heard of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Okay? It was founded by Demas Shakirian, who came out of that diaspora of the Armenian Christians out of Turkey. And here is another one that you'll find interesting. Bug erodes public trust in websites. Well, not for the life of me can I imagine where anybody would have trust in a website. Okay? All I would say is you don't know much about computer programmers. Okay? But one of the software that's supposed to protect the security of the websites that's used by all the major companies, okay, something SSL software, security software. And many of you have probably seen it where you go to a website and when the name comes up, there's a little padlock on it. And padlock is supposed to tell you, this is a secure site. Well, there was this programmer who was in a hurry and he was implementing a software for this security feature about 2 years ago. And he pumped it out there and they didn't test it properly. And it leaves a gaping hole that anybody with a minimum of knowledge of computers can hack it right into the secure system to get all your most secure information. It's just a few minutes work. Okay? Which means that all of these websites, all the big ones, you pick a big name, they got the same problem. All of them. Okay? Because this is on like 65% of all computers. It's probably 100% of all big computers. And so all the people's passwords and personal information has been available. They have no idea how many people have gone in there and stolen it. Right at this point in time, they're not even sure what to tell you to do. You know, some are saying, change your password as soon as possible. Some are saying, well, if you change your password before they fix the software, you'll have to change it again. And the problem is what triggers it is accessing the system in the first place. So what you have to access the system to change your password. So it's a really conundrum. But thank God for you and I, we pray over our computers and our information every single day. And no harm or evil can come to us because we're praying over our computers and our passwords and our security and our identity information on a regular basis. Aren't we? Well, I hear a couple voices. Okay? Let me tell you, don't trust computers. Don't trust computers. Trust God. Okay? I'm absolutely serious. I pray over my computer. Everything I just told you, I do every single day. Sometimes more than once a day. Okay? We're moving into really, really bad times. And you need to be covered in prayer all the time. In fact, what you need to do is dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. So if you found Psalm 91, abiding in Him, this is the King James Version of Psalm 91, personalized. So you can read it directly as a prayer for yourself. So it starts off in the personalized version. I who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you're praying for yourself and your family, you say, my family and I. And then from then on, you say, we. I really, 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 really believe that every serious believer, once they get to a certain level, which is the very minimal level, should pray Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 for themselves and their families every single day. Every single day. Okay? So I'm not going to read the entire psalm. You all probably all know it by now. I want to point out some things. Verse 2. I who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Notice, before you say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, before you do that, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Now understand that all the blessings of God are available to all of us at all times. What loosens those blessings in our life is partnering with God. Partnering with God is taking a step towards God. Anytime we take a step towards God, those blessings can be and should be loosed into our lives. What that step is depends on where you are. When I got saved, the first step that I took towards God was very simple. I promised God I'd read one line of the Bible every day. One line, that's it. And that was enough to start me out in my first year, in my first 9 months, of hitting over 1,000 miracles in the first 9 months. Just a commitment to read one line per day. But having made the commitment, I tried to keep it. A personal commitment to God is a very serious thing. So, in verse 1, it says, I who dwell in the secret place shall abide. Now let's go down to verse 9. Because I've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. Now, on this outline, I have four words bolded. Four words in bolded character. In verse 1, I have dwell, abide. And in verse 9, I have habitation. Okay? In verse 10, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. So the four words I want to focus in on are dwell, abide, habitation, and dwelling. They all sound similar. So if we look at the first word, I who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. In the Hebrew, the word has several meanings. One of them is continue. It means dwell, it means habitation, it means establish. So it means, also could be translated as habitation, which is the word used also in verse 9, habitation. If we look at the word abide, I who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide. The word abide can mean stop overnight, stay, from stop overnight to stay permanently. Okay, it comes from the word meaning stop overnight, but the more precise meaning here is stay permanently. Continue, here we see continue again. If you continue in my word, continue. It also means dwell. The last word did mean dwell also. It means lodge. So the first two words, both can mean continue, and they both mean dwell. Verse 9. Because I've made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High, my habitation. The word habitation. In the Hebrew means abide, home, a retreat, a dwelling place. So all these words are saying the same thing. Dwell, our dwelling place, a habitation. Verse 10, the word dwelling. No plague shall come near my dwelling. The word dwelling means, among other things, tent, The key is that it's conspicuous from a distance. Conspicuous from a distance. It can be seen from a distance. A covering, and of course, dwelling means dwelling. Means home and tabernacle. So all these are saying, if you make God your home, if you dwell in Him in such a way that it is conspicuous from a distance, that it's obvious to everybody who meets you that you are dwelling in God. Jesus said, if you confess me and acknowledge me before men, I acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And all good things come down from the Father above. So it's saying, you want to dwell, not as a closet Christian, but you want to dwell as a light on a mountaintop. So that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But you only want to do that if you like the concept that no evil shall befall you and that no evil can befall you. Nothing that the enemy shall by any means hurt you, and no plague shall come by your dwelling place. Me, I happen to love those concepts. We lost an ABC one night because, I'm just so naive. I think, I've always thought, if I minister to a person or persons, and they get one or two or three miracles, I mean real miracles, that from then on, they would at least give me the courtesy of checking with me with what I said so I can show them some more scriptures before they walk out. But it doesn't work that way for some reason. I remember this lady, she was trying to ask me a question, and she was trying to be argumentative about something that I'd said. And she said, well, what if, and she poses the question, what if you're driving on the freeway and you have an accident? I said, it can never happen. She said, what do you mean it can never happen? I said, that's what I said. It can never happen. Because God says, no evil shall befall me. She's thinking, what if the roulette wheel spins around and says, today is Pastor Joshua's day to have an accident? And I'm saying it can't happen. Because I stand on the word of God, which says, no evil shall befall me. She left and she never came back. Even after she had some significant miracles in her life and her family, I find that truly amazing. Really, truly amazing. So the word of God says, no evil shall befall me. I believe it. I speak it. I declare it. And I do my best to help it make come to pass. Because I see everything that's happening now, especially during this era of fear, as practice for when things get bad. And so, what I'm trying to say here tonight to everybody is this. You can drink as much of God as you want, but realize the more you drink is the more you give up. But where you really want to go to, you want to go to the place where you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. And that your whole life is built around Him. It's not that you're going to see Him on Sunday for an hour, but you're dwelling there. And when you choose to dwell there, when you choose to continue in the Word, when you choose to do what God has said you should do, both in the Bible and in your heart, then nothing of the enemy can by any means hurt you. Now, what does it mean to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God? I think that depends on where you are. When you are an unbeliever, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God means get saved. Now, once you've been saved for a while, then maybe you need to move into going to church once a week to understand that I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. And maybe after being going to church for a while, you're going to a church who teaches you that really you should be reading the Bible. So then maybe you need to grow up to the level where you read your Bible a little. And then maybe you grow up to the point where you see the Bible, I need to be water baptized. So you get water baptized. Then you go for a while and it says, you need to be, Jesus came with five baptisms. And then you need to have all five baptisms. First, you need to be baptized to be saved. So you're baptized into Jesus as your Savior. Then you're baptized into Jesus as Lord. So Savior and Lord. Baptism into Christ. Baptism into the Word by the washing of the water of the Word. Five baptisms. We all need to go through all five. but only if you want to drink deeply of God. At any point you want to stop drinking, you just stop doing it. Because we are five parts beings, and each part of the being needs its own baptism. It's the semester two teaching. Okay? So, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Little by little, we keep taking one step. Every step we take positions us for the blessings of God. Eventually, we come to a point where we always want to be in the kingdom of God. We always want to be under the anointing. We always want to be walking in joy, peace, and patience. And when you get to that point, you start running out of things I can teach you. Okay? But that's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, starting where you are and taking step by step to get to that point where you're walking in the anointing all the time. When we do that, look at all the wonderful things that happen to us. Wonderful things. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. It reminds me of when Sarah and I went to New York to minister. A couple of times we went up there to minister in New York. I mean, a lot of stories I could tell you. I just want to make two points. One happened to us a number of times. This particular trip we were there, we spoke at, I guess, three different churches in 2 days or something like that. And we stayed at one location and went to three locations. And I remember we stayed at this location and we were speaking to a friend of ours who happened to be in New Jersey visiting. And I said, come on over here and come visit us. He said, okay, but you know, I didn't rent a car, so I have to get somebody to drive me over. So he spoke to his cousin. And the cousin says, they're in Brooklyn. I ain't going to Brooklyn. So he's not going to Brooklyn. So after a while, the man talked to him and he says, okay, I'll go to Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn are you? So we told him. He says, you are where? There ain't nowhere I'm going there. That's it. Would not go to where we were. So we left. We're in a secure building, a multi-story secure building, you know, walls around and a guard and so forth. And we walked out. And the guy said, well, sir, where are you going? We're going to walk now to the store to, you know, buy some snacks or something. He said, you're going to go walk out there? I said, yeah, we're going to go walk out there. Anyway, it was interesting. So we left there and we're telling him, no, we're going to go over that place to preach. And he said, you don't want to go over there. It's really dangerous. This is the people here, you know. I said, dangerous over there. You got to be really careful. So we go over there to preach and we're preaching where we're told it's dangerous. And they said, afterwards, we're going to leave here and go to this other church. He says, man, that's a really dangerous area. You don't want to go there. Every time we change an area, that area was telling us the other area is more dangerous. It was really, really a fun trip. So at that time, we didn't have a GPS, so we were using like MapQuest, and it wasn't quite clear, and we got off the freeway. And we had a couple from a church with us, wished to turn on the freeway. We got off in this area, and we're driving through this area, and this lady called up her friend saying, we are kind of lost. Can you direct us over here? She says, okay, tell me where you are. So she called us some names, and I could hear the scream through the phone. Get out of there! Get out of there! Oh, my word. I mean, he was just, total fear came through the phone. Anyway, God protect us through all these things, and we came out, right? Now, the lady we stayed with, she had an area set up for her prayer time, a little prayer closet, where she'd kneel down and pray. And she spent a lot of time praying. Now, she had worked in the Twin Towers ever since the very beginning when they built it. I mean, maybe the first few months she moved in. And the day, of course, came when the planes were hitting the Twin Towers. And people came running to her son and said, doesn't your mother work in the Twin Towers? He said, yes, she does. He said, well, planes are slamming into the Twin Towers. He said, well, if planes are crashing into the Twin Towers, my mother is not there today. And guess what? When he called home, his mother was home. God said, don't go in this morning, go in the evening. And she's home The boss that tried to get there to come in that morning said, no, boss, I can't. I can start in the morning next week, but not this week. And planes crashed or crashing into it. No, that's a great example of 1,000 falling by your side and 10,000 by your right hand. Okay? Here is a lady. The primary thing in her life is prayer. Prayer. At one point, the son was in the army, in the military, and they were transferring out the whole group. I don't know what the name. I don't think it's a battalion, but it's a big division, maybe, or whatever. Okay, they're transferring them over to was it Iraq or Afghanistan?
I think it was Iraq.
Yeah, to Iraq. And she prayed, and she says, "Son, you can't go." He says, "What do you mean I can't go? I'm a soldier." They say, "Going." She said, "No, you're not going." "Mom, they're leaving tomorrow." She says, "You're not going." She's telling her son, "You can't go. He's in the army, and the whole all of them are going." He just shook his head and walked off. He goes in, and at the last minute, they pulled back some of them and said, "You guys are going to stay here to do this." And he didn't go. And they all went. And he stayed back for a few months, and then they're going to send him. He said, "Mom, they're going to send me now." And she prayed and said, "Okay, you can go now." And this time he went. Went over there, did his time over there, and came back. Not a problem. That's the kind of praying mom he has. That's the kind of praying person we want to be. We had I got a call this week from two people in this room, and they said, "How is so-and-so doing? Because we were awakened this morning, and God said, pray for him." The wife was awakened, and she woke up the husband and said, "We got to pray for this person." They started praying. So they called me up a few hours later and said, "How is this person doing?" I said, "As far as I know, the person is doing great." Said, "But if I hear anything, I'll call you." So later in the day, I called to check up on the person that they were praying for. They said, "Funny you should ask. Today, about 2 hours ago, he was suddenly taken to the emergency hospital with what the doctors are calling a heart attack." So I didn't laugh out loud. I've learned not to laugh out loud. People don't understand. But I smiled. I smiled. And I said, "Well, don't worry about it. He'll be home shortly." Okay? So I'm believing he'll be home within 24 hours or so. But that's what happens when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. When you're open, when you don't mind being embarrassed, when you are willing to face the fears and say, "I don't understand this, but the Bible says do it, so I'm going to do it." That's what we need to do. See, we need to get serious. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're all serious believers, but we need to get more serious. Understand? We can't get too serious about God. Now look at verse 4, Psalm 91, verse 4. "He shall cover me with his feathers." See, that's how the little chickens do with the mother hen. She flops up she bends down, flops up her wings, and they run under her. And you can't see them. As soon as there's danger or rain or something, she does that, and all of them go under there. And that's what God is saying. See, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and you'll abide under the shadow of the Mighty. That's why we have no fear of walking in the shadow of death. Because God has a giant shadow which overwhelms the shadow of death. Okay? You dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, which means he's almighty. Right? Sometimes we forget because of the L missing. It's not just a name. That's what it means. He's almighty. He can't do anything. And his shadow overwhelms death. And when challenges come, just like the chickens run into the mother and are completely hidden, he'll do that to you. Whether it be a riot, whether it be people trying to arrest you. No matter what, illegally, okay? You know, like Pastor Joseph being arrested illegally for preaching, like Evangelist Michael being, trying to, not this Michael, another Michael, arrest him for his preaching to Arabs. Like we have many Christian Arabs that have been imprisoned and some killed because they're evangelizing. But when we understand that we dwell in there, then we can call on his promises. And he just fluffs up and we hide under there and they don't even see you. "And under his wings shall I trust." So, all of this is simply saying this. The knowledge that we should make God our dwelling place, that we should abide in Him, that we should dwell in Him, that we should focus on Him, that we should do in such a way that everybody knows that we're Christian just by our words and our action. Make Him our center. Dwell in Him. That knowledge will bring you all these blessings in Psalm 91. Bring it to you and to your family. We have some very, very wonderful testimonies. And on our list of things to do is to create a website, a Psalm 91 website, that teaches how to pray for protection and give testimonies. One of the things we're coming out here in the next few, surely within 2 months, I hope, is to give you a vision of what we're doing by coming up with all the various websites that we have created. How many websites were on that? Just the whole thing, yeah. Was it 20 or 30? Huh?
Yeah, about 25.
We have about 25 websites that we are in the process of bringing up. I mean, some of them are just in the design stage. We have maybe 6 or so that are running today, is what you're saying? Or,
Okay.
So we have six major areas, and we have like 25 websites that are coming up in lots of different areas. It will give you a vision of where we are going. And all we're trying to do is get people to dwell in that secret place of the Most High God. John 15, verse 7, you all know it well. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. John 15, verse 7. Notice the word abide is used twice in there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So guess the meanings. This is not Hebrew anymore. This is not Greek. The meaning of the Greek word abide means stay, continue. What a surprise. Dwell. Okay? So continue or dwell. Here we come with the dwell again. And his words abide in you. And guess what they mean? The exact same word. Stay, continue, dwell. So if you stay, continue, or dwell in Christ Jesus, and his words stay and continue and dwell in you, you shall ask what you will and shall be done for you. That is basically another way of saying, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, you shall see of the Lord. Okay? And finally, 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abides in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. I want to talk about this at different levels. So 1 John 3, verse 6. Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him nor known him. So whosoever abides in him sins not. So if you're dwelling in that secret place of the Most High God, while you're in there dwelling, you won't sin. Now, if you come out of it, then you can sin. But as long as you're in the dwelling place of the Most High God, you won't sin. Try it the other way around. If you're sinning, you're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. You may at least are coming out into sin, and then you go back in, which is probably what we all do. We're in there for a while, we come out, we sin, and we go back in. Then we come out and sin and go back in. Then we come out and sin whether or not we need to, and then we go back in. Right? That's pretty much what we do. But God wants us to stay in there all the time. No. Whosoever sins has not seen him. I personally have not seen Jesus. I've seen him in a vision. Didn't see his face. I've never seen him. I mean, he's been here walking around. I haven't seen him. And he's never sat down and talked to me. Now, I know maybe 4 or 5 people now, I've counted, losing count, 6 people, with whom Jesus has come and talked. But I'm not there yet. But I will be. So I can truly say that I haven't seen him. Now, I've seen him in my heart, but not with my eyes. Neither know him. Well, I know him in my heart. I know him through his word, but I don't know him in the way you know somebody when you sit down and have supper with them. I don't have that intimate knowledge of Jesus yet. However, let's take the same scripture and take it down one level. Whoever abides in him, we know that what that means. It means dwell in him, right? If you dwell in him, continue in him, you sin, you don't sin. Let's look at the word sin. It certainly has the obvious meaning of fault, you know, committing a fault, offense, a transgression, a sin. But I want to look at one specific meaning, the word sin. It means missing the mark and not sharing in the prize. Missing the mark and not sharing in the prize. That's what I want to focus on. If you abide in him, you will not miss the mark and you will share in the prize. If you abide in him, if you dwell in him, if you continue the word, you will gain the knowledge which will bring you the grace so that you not miss the mark and share in the prize. Now, for most Christians, they think the mark is going to heaven. Let me tell you, that's just the beginning of the mark. Okay? There's a lot to this world that we see with our physical eyes, and there's even more to the spiritual world that we can't see. But God says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for him. Well, we all have in our hearts the knowledge that we're going to heaven. So that doesn't even make the list, because we know that. There are things beyond that. Now, what we do in heaven, and do we stay in heaven forever, or is there more stuff to do? There's a lot to it. If you abide in him, you will not miss the mark. How about the mark being that which is very important to you right now? Maybe the mark of getting a job, the mark of a new car, the mark of getting your healing, the mark of getting a spouse, the mark of being equally yoked. Whatever these marks are, it's saying if you abide in him, if you dwell in that place, you won't miss that mark and you'll share in the prize. Let's pump that up to one higher level. How about the mark of the calling in your life? God has a plan for every single person. And he's saying, if you dwell in me, I will pull you out of the garbage of your life. I give you more grace that you will fulfill the calling that I have on your life. If you look back and say, I don't think I fulfilled the calling in my life that God called me to, God says, I can make up for the years and what the canker worm has stolen away. He can make up for it. Our best times are yet ahead of us if we make that choice in our heart. We're going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and we're going to choose and say, Lord, I don't want to sin. Set me free from sinning, because Jesus paid the price, so I don't have to sin. Romans 6:11 says, count yourself dead to sin. How about the mark that I'm going to talk about on Sunday? The ark is the mark. How is that for a prize? If you abide in him, you won't miss the prize. The greatest prize available to every believer on earth today is making the rapture. And making the rapture, as I'm going to teach on Sunday, is not as simple as the church seems to think it is. But what I'm going to focus on Sunday is the following, that when you make the rapture, you can create an ark of anointing. In fact, that's how you make it. You create an ark of anointing. And in that ark of anointing, you can take people with you, your loved ones, who are not at the same level you are. That's what we're going to talk about. And as you know, all our teachings have lots of scriptures. So that's what we're talking about on Sunday. How about that mark? The mark of being the generation that overcomes death and goes up in the rapture. the mark of being here when the Son of Man returns. The mark of coming back down to earth, starting all over again. Starting all over with a millennial period. How is that for a mark? How is that for something to excite your mind? How is that for something to work towards? And he's saying, if you abide in him, you won't miss the mark. And the word, whosoever sins had not seen him. The word seen here means stare at him. Saying, if you really stare at him, then you won't sin. If you observe him and discern him clearly, if you clearly understand who Jesus is and what he's done for you, then your understanding of who Jesus is and what he did for you will drive sin out of your life and you'll quit sinning. If you experience him, if you experience Jesus, one word, has not seen, means steer, discern clearly, experience him. And we all have more of that to come. And as we get more and more to the point where we see him and discern him and experience him, less and less do we have a desire, an inclination, or an action towards sin. Neither know him. The word know here means know absolutely, perceive him, or understand him. That's where we're going. That as we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, more and more we'll experience him, perceive him, meet him personally, understand him, and know what he truly did for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.